Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy. Listen, we're going to go into the ninth part of the 10-part interview by Sid Roth, interviewing Tom Horn and Chris Putnam, authors of the book Petros Romanos and Exo Vaticana. And in these books, these investigative books, that every part of what they're saying has been sourced. So you can go back and check the sources on it. And we encourage you to do that. We're just making this available to you, and you can get it in its entirety at sidroth.org. We just wanted you to hear it because it totally converges with so many things the Lord has been telling us and telling a lot of our brothers. And you know what God has said is going to come to pass, how it's going to unfold. We begin to see how it begins to unfold. But one of the things that's happening is these guys wrote the book, Petros Romanos, and they said in the book that Pope Benedict would step down in around March of 2012. And people thought, well, he didn't. Well, March of 2013, he openly says he's stepping down, but they find out that he did officially step down in March of 2012. Mm-hmm. And they used that whole year to be able to set up for this next pope. And this is like 400 years since this has ever happened. Mm-hmm. And it's fulfilling a 900-year-old prophecy called the Malachi prophecy. And that in itself means a lot to us in the context of it. And just listen up. So Sid Roth is interviewing Tom Horn and Chris Putnam about these books. Listen up.
Shalom, Mishpucha. Shalom, family. Mishpucha is a Hebrew word. It means family. And we're the Mishpucha, the family with the Jewish heart, made up of Jewish and non-Jewish people, where the middle wall is separation between Jew and Gentile. It's finally come down to form one new man, getting ready, Mishpucha, to blow the grandest shofar, or the grandest trumpet in Zion. We want everyone, everywhere, to hear the good news. We want everyone, everywhere, to be red hot for the Messiah. My guest is red hot for the Messiah, Tom Horn, co-author of the brand new book, Exo Vaticana, this is mind-blowing. I mean, if you thought things were speeding up before, and they were, everything's on just such a rapid pace for the wrapping up of the late great planet Earth. For instance, did you notice when they announced that the Pope was retiring of what happened at the Vatican? Tom, you saw that lightning, that light that was right over the Vatican. Tell me about that.
Isn't that extraordinary? February 11th, just a couple of weeks ago now, three, 4 weeks ago now, lightning struck St. Peter's Basilica twice immediately on the resignation of Pope Benedict the 16th. Now, of course, could have been coincidental, but lightning is something that in sacred literature always carries spiritual connotations. Sometimes it's good, sometimes it's evil. Like when Jesus referred to Satan as falling like lightning in Luke 10:18. And you know, Sid, I couldn't help but think that the timing of those two lightning bolts on that particular building at Vatican City at that exact time following Benedict's resignation, I mean, my gut feeling, and I could be wrong, but I thought it was beyond mathematical probability of chance. First of all, it was two bolts. Don't forget that, you know, what we talked about earlier this week, two central figures of end times prophecy, the false prophet and the Antichrist. They're described in the book of Revelation as being able to call down fire like lightning from heaven. And this is not just an evangelical speaking. There are some Catholics right now, some of the known leaders in Catholicism right now that have the same reasoning. In fact, one of the most highly visited Catholic sites is run by a guy I know. He's communicated with me off and on over the years. He reads my books and websites on a regular basis. But he, you know, went on to this major Catholic website and started telling Catholics, look, the lightning that struck St. Peter's Basilica some days ago, I mean, this was not chance. This was something else.
I've got Chris Putnam on the telephone, best-selling author of the books we've been talking about all this week. And, Chris, you talk about the visions that many people have heard about at Fatima, Portugal. How does that tie in with UFOs?
Well, we have to remember that we're talking about the year 1917. So this was, you know, long before terminology like flying saucer and UFO were in the vocabulary. But if you look at the descriptions of what the crowd saw that day in 1917 in Fatima, it really sounds remarkably similar to what, you know, we would call a UFO today. You know, it's called the miracle of the sun, but I don't think anyone really believes that the sun actually danced in the sky. I mean, just the laws of physics would dictate, you know, if the sun moved, it would actually toss the earth all around and the whole world would see it, you know, so it's pretty clear that it wasn't actually the sun. But I mean, I'll just read, here's some descriptions from some of the eyewitnesses. They say, a weird disc that turns rapidly on its own axis and casts off beams of colored light in all directions. Shafts of red light shot out from the rim of the sun and colored clouds, the earth, the trees, and the people with shafts of violet, yellow, blue. So what you have is a spinning disc in the sky that's, you know, throwing off colors. And this is what people saw in the sky, and they call this the miracle of the sun. I think mainly because as it, you know, zigzagged around in the sky, it kind of disappeared into the sun, flew into the sun as it went away. And then the people realized that the rain had stopped because they had been standing in the rain. So, I mean, this has all the telltale signs of what, you know, most people would call a UFO sighting today. If they saw a silver disc spinning around in the sky, I just don't think that that was in the vocabulary back in 1917. And then you have, you know, the words of these children who said that they were channeling Mary, and that's really, you know, why it got associated with the Catholic dogmas.
I really am not that knowledgeable of it, but I thought everyone saw Mary and heard her words.
No. The way that the Marian apparition typically works, and this is the case with all of the cases I've studied, is that it usually picks children, usually young children under 10 years old, and it's basically the same as channeling. These children hear Mary's voice, and they're the only ones that hear it, and they write down what Mary allegedly says. So basically you have some impressionable youngsters usually that, you know, supposedly get these messages from Mary, and then the signs in the sky or whatever that seem to authenticate it have nothing to do with Mary. You know, they're usually something like this.
Now, tell me about the Pope that saw those same flying objects and then came with some revolutionary conclusions about the mother of Jesus, Mary.
Well, that's one of the things that not too many people know about, but the Pope that actually, you know, when they have an apparition like Fatima, they have an approval process where the church kind of rubber stamps it as an official thing that Catholics can't believe. Now, the Pope that did that for Fatima was Pius XII, who was the Pope during World War II. And what not too many people know is that in 1950, he was thinking of promulgating a doctrine they call the Assumption of Mary. Now, this is a really kind of a strange doctrine that he did end up promulgating, that Mary ascended into heaven, just like we read Jesus doing in the book of Acts. But Pius XII says that the day that he was thinking of defining this doctrine, of writing it down, that he saw the same thing happen over the Vatican Gardens. And in fact, he wrote this in a note that on 4 p.m. October 30th, 1950, while he was taking a walk in the Vatican Gardens, that he saw an opaque sphere surrounded by a luminous circle, and it twisted and rotated all around in the sky, spinning, throwing out colors, the same sort of disc shape object, you know, with the same sort of phenomenon that people described at Fatima. And this was in 1950, you know, 37 years later. And he used this as his inspiration to go ahead and to promulgate this doctrine of the Assumption. So, you know, in a very real way, we have an unidentified aerial phenomenon sort of inspiring a pope to, you know, create new doctrines that all Catholics are supposed to believe.
Now, what about all of the sightings of the UFOs over the Vatican?
Well, there have been quite a few, and that was one of the things that I tried to do just to see what was going on with this, is that there are some very interesting correlations of UFO sightings and events within the Catholic Church. One of the most, I think, compelling is the year 1978. It's a famous year for the papacy because it's the year of three popes. This is when Paul VI died, and then they elected John Paul I, and he only lived 33 days. And then they elected John Paul II, who is the famous pope that most of us probably remember really well. But, you know, what a lot of people don't know is that during that brief reign of John Paul I, he was only pope 33 days, there was a massive outbreak of UFO sightings over Rome. Now, this is, you know, not just some obscure UFO reports. This actually made the New York Times news service. And, you know, it was seen by airport officials, policemen verified this, officials at the Vatican saw it. So it's not just a, you know, an obscure kind of fringe sort of story. It actually made the United States papers in 1978. And I have reproduced a clipping from the New York Times News Service verifying all these facts.
Now, what is the Vatican plan for the arrival of a UFO God with a small g?
What we uncovered in the process of our research is that several theologians from the Vatican have written some statements that seem to be making allowances for the existence of extraterrestrials, even, you know, making allowances for adapting theology, you know, to amalgamate the revelations that might come with these new beings, which is really kind of troubling to me, given the Vatican's track record of revision already. The Vatican II process that happened in the 1960s, they adopted this idea of the anonymous Christian, where people from different faiths could actually come in and be saved without even knowing Christ. So when you think about somebody that's willing to adapt things to that extent, dealing with something from outside of this world, they don't have a particularly good track record. So I think that they're wide open to a deception. What we are thinking is that there's going to be a ruse, you know, a ruse by supernatural forces who claim to be extraterrestrials. Now, with these kind of theological constructs...
I'll tell you what, we're out of time, but I'm going to tell you, you will not understand end times without these two books.
These books are available right now at sidroth.org, or you can find out more on the VFN Torch at vfntv.com and click on the torch. But the books are Exo Vaticana and Petros Romanus, which actually documents what's going on. The big thing that we're actually sensing and hearing is this is a convergence of so many things going on. I'm looking right now, and you can see this on the torch. At the lightning, mm-hmm. The day that openly they made the statement, and everything was in order, obviously, at that point, because they spent a whole year, from according to what these guys are saying, preparing for who the next pope was, and he was going to step down from being the pope, Benedict was, and the new pope, Pope Francis, was going to come in. It doesn't happen that way. Normally, you die, and then they come together, and which is unpredictable, mm-hmm. unless you do it yourself, and this, they planned for an entire year for him to come, but the day he openly told everybody, lightning struck St. Peter's Basilica. Mm-hmm. And you can see it. You can see this bolt come down. And so when you think about when Isaiah talks about that he saw Satan thrown, cast down like lightning, mm-hmm. that it happened at that time. Mm-hmm. But obviously there's a lot of prophecy in what Isaiah is saying. Was that the day that Satan was cast down to earth from second heaven? Because this is what he told Jesus. He said, if you bow down and worship me, first of all, he's talking to Jesus. Mm-hmm. And he says, all these kingdoms were given to me, and I can give them to whoever I want to, and I'll give them to you. And Jesus, of course, said, you know, don't think so.
Right.
And but the day that Pope Benedict stepped down publicly, that was the moment, and you got to see this. You got to go. You got to share this. That's the moment that the lightning hit St. Peter's Basilica. At that moment, at the very peak of, it's like, was it that the moment that Satan was cast from second heaven down to earth?
Mm.
You remember that when Judas was with Jesus, he was Judas. He had open doors, obviously, in his life. But there was a moment that Satan entered Judas. You remember that?
Oh, he
took the bread. It says, then Satan entered Judas. And was that the moment that Satan entered into what's about to happen in these last days? You got to find out about all this. Go to the VFN.com, VFNTV.com, and click on the torch and listen to each of these interviews. We're going to have the last part of this 10-part interview. Get the books. Find out for yourself. I'm going to understand this in a moment. In a twinkling of an eye, the Lord is going to come back for his church. But you got to make sure you're the church. That it's not a building. It's not going to come back for your organization. It's going to come back for believers. People that make Jesus the Lord of their life, that says, I am going to follow you wherever you want me to go. I'm going to do what you ask of me. I'm going to listen to your teachings, and I'm going to follow your teachings because I love you. And out of that, fruit's going to come out of my life. I'm going to be an authentic branch on you, Jesus, the vine, as the Father gardens his vineyard. You've just been listening to the highlights from the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Don't forget to share it with your friends. Find out more and listen to the daily VFN radio program in its entirety at VFNTV.com or with your mobile VFN TV app on your mobile phone or device. That's VFNTV.com.